why I'm shit down, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't
look
at it on my phone.
Here, you want my
keys? Yep. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please. Kernan?
Yes.
Granton?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Miller?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A motion to approve the agenda, and we are tabling agenda item number 19. Are there any other corrections, Jess?
Can we also table item number 21 as well? I'd like to give us a little bit more time to review it, please.
Can I have a motion with those?
Second.
Miller?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Kernan?
Yes.
Granton?
Yep.
5 p.m. public hearing on the sale and transfer of public property. Have you received any objections?
I've not received any written objections, Your Honor.
Are there any oral objections in the audience? Hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Discussion on appointment for councilperson at large vacancy. So did we have several letters, Jody, or?
Your Honor, I do have a file here if anyone would like to take another look. I believe we had three written written applications, I guess, written requests for council vacancy. I don't know if everyone has looked at them. I know quite a few council has come in and inquired about them, so.
Could you tell us who they are, please?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I know who they are, but for the audience.
One was Gordon Huff.
He was a previous council member, for those who don't know.
Yeah. Jennifer Zupp-Smith. And then David Frazier.
Okay. I read through all of them. My opinion being that since Jennifer is the only one that actually put papers in to run, would be kind of silly to appoint either the other two, which either one would be fine. But at this point, we should bring her, in my opinion, we should bring her on right away and let her get started. Because at this point, there's nobody running against her. And she, as I said, she's the only one that's going to actually have her name on the ballot.
I'll make the motion.
Well, and one more, just another statement. I mean, I totally agree with John, but the other thing too is Jennifer's by far the most active because I don't see the other two people here. For example, when I asked to be appointed, I sent the letter, and I was out of town, but I actually called all the council members to explain why I wanted to be on there. Jennifer, I talked to Jennifer, I don't know if she's going to be here. So, I mean, to me that she's here probably every other council meeting, or quite a few council meetings, plus very active in the community. So not only what John said, I think that this is the best fit for the community.
I'll make the motion.
Or Jennifer's the best.
So that'll be the resolution directly after this.
Oh, that was just discussion.
Yeah, that was just the discussion.
Gotcha.
So now we'll move to resolution to appoint to city council.
I'll reiterate that motion.
I'll second it.
Miller?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Kernan?
Yes.
Granton?
Yes.
Sorry, I screwed up there.
And now we'll swear in the newly appointed council member. I didn't wear heels on purpose.
Oh, thanks.
Put her up by the flag.
I appreciate that. I did it on purpose.
Mayor, put her up by the flag.
No, we can do that.
I think that would be more appropriate.
And then you can just take your seat if you want. Yeah, I'll come back and grab my stuff because I always have a handful. I always said Zoop.
Which one is correct?
Zoop. It's Zoop.
Zoop, I'm sorry.
But I hear both, and I hear Jessica.
I couldn't get it out right.
I've been called worse.
I apologize for that.
I, Jennifer Zupp-Smith, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Iowa.
And the Constitution of the State of Iowa.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Discharge all the duties of the office of councilperson at large.
Discharge all of the duties of the office of councilperson at large.
Denison as now or hereafter required by law.
Denison as now or hereafter required by law.
Well, you don't need to hug it quite so much.
Chair high enough for you?
Yep. She sat in that one before, haven't she?
Yeah, usually I'm in Greg's at Wellness Center meetings.
Yeah.
So.
May I ask, as I'm doing roll call, how do you want me to do your name?
You can say Zoop Smith.
Okay.
That way we won't offend my husband.
Okay, motion to approve the consent agenda, please.
Kernan? Yes.
Granton?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Zoop Smith?
Yes.
That rolls off the tongue pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. Citizen input. Anyone here for citizen input this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on to Safe Routes to School Trail update. Terry, I'm assuming that will be you.
I've handed out a lot of information to the California mayor. And I think the main thing you're going to want to concentrate on for the update is the spreadsheet. Basically, the spreadsheet takes the estimate that you just approved in the consent agenda and adds to it, actually to the point where we estimate it's going to look like
pipe work. It's an 18-inch pipe that's shown on one of your drawings that had to be added for a field entrance at the north end. We actually didn't know it was there until some of the clearing got done by Shane Boyd. But it's actually the only way to access that north end on the south side of the ditch is through that field entrance. So we went ahead and put added 58 feet of 18-inch pipe to that. And it's also going to be another nice access for the trail. I'll just kind of work on down through here unless, if you got a question, make sure you stop me. You can kind of follow the form, hopefully, but for the end of the project we're getting to now, the erosion control and techniques that are going to be employed to keep erosion in check. Items, especially items 42 through 49. We're probably going to use all the wooden Susker mat, but as dry as it's been, we don't see needing the stabilizing crop. We feel like when we get to the point where seeding can be allowed, that's what we'll do. This was actually designed for earlier in the year, where in the middle of the summer you would put in a stabilizing crop, and because it's too soon to seed. Okay, so we don't need stabilizing crop. We might not even need silt pinups. And I've talked to Mike. Mike's good enough to stop by tonight. I've talked to him about using some of the wattles, which is item 48. It's called Perimeter and Slope Sediment Control Device. A simple name for it amongst contractors is a wattle. It's a 9-inch diameter tube that you've probably seen on projects as you go through different towns or along county road projects. It'll work good for both sheet erosion and as ditch checks.
I have a question if I may, Terry. So you're going to do a dormant seeding like November, December?
We want to look at that.
Okay.
We'd have to get it approved by the DOT.
Okay. I just don't know how successful that is. I know in the past we've tried it and it seems like somebody always has to come back in the spring and do some more seeding. So that, I guess that was my question.
Yeah, I don't think it worked very good on the 11th Street
right.
project. That
right.
We did. And try to have Andy come back and redo that in the spring. And we're in such a deficit situation for rain, I don't think we ever did get a stand of grass over there in some of those spots. But I might let Mike talk about that a little bit. He's had pretty good luck with it.
Yeah, overall, we've had really good luck if we do it like after November 10th.
Okay.
And then if we see some areas that don't come up the best in the spring, we can overseed those areas, but usually it works pretty good.
Okay. So, Terry, can I ask, since I'm new to this, kind of, aside from what I remember, am I reading it correctly that the total project cost is $492? At least that was the total estimate, but you're going to end up coming in at $473?
Okay.
Or am I not reading that correct?
I've got a lot of numbers down there.
Yeah, you do.
The first, let me see if I got the contract. The first number there at the bottom where it says total estimated amount at completion, $429,516.95. That's actually the contract amount for 10 points. My engineer's estimates listed right underneath of that, so they were like 60.
does not include the $58,182.23 worth of work that was done on a water leak that was found. So it's that amount plus.
So all the change orders amounted to $43,684, is that correct?
$58,182.23.
Do we repeat that number, please?
$58,182.23.
Is that for the total change order, or that on
no,
top of this $43,684?
That is for just okay. the work that was done on the water leak issue.
We ran that outside of this contract, so we didn't have to pay the Davis Bacon wages that's been required with this grant. So we did that to try to save the city money.
What's the water leak issue?
I'm sorry.
What's the water leak issue?
Okay. About the beginning of September, when Mike's subcontractor for the piping and the structures was working at the north end, they discovered water leaking through underneath of North 20th Street. And actually to the point where it was obviously more than a spring. It was coming through in a lot of different areas and was actually contaminating, but I say contaminating, it was making it a muck hole. There was no way to complete that crossing right there where at the bottom of the trail. You come up there now, you see the trail coming through there with a big fill underneath of it. We had to fix this muck hole before we could even start. I said we, the contractor had to fix that before they could even start building the embankment. The problem is nobody knew who was responsible for the water. And we started talking with DMU and I guess Jessica inadvertently left that out. We're still actually talking with DMU about whether it's possibly DMU water from one of their systems or you know, just where the water's coming from.
So do we know that whatever you did to fix the muck fixed it?
I'm sorry.
If we know that the cause of the water is fixed so that...
Yeah, the water's still leaking. What we did is created a base and a drain for it to keep flowing underneath the embankment so that way the embankment will stay stable forever.
And so we don't know who's paying the 58 yet then? Is that what you're saying?
We're taking correct. Some more tests. And it's going to be at least two more weeks. We want to make sure it's not coming from the water system. Right, Jessica?
That is correct. We met this morning. That was in my city manager report, but we met this morning. We'll be taking some more samples on the 17th. And then I'll have an update for council as far as if we can determine whether it's a freshwater leak. We have eliminated... at this point, through consensus of the individuals that met, that it's not a wastewater leak. So we're going to run some more samples, us alongside DMU, same time, sending it to two separate labs to determine if it's a freshwater, or as far as their treated water, if it's their leak or if it's a natural source of water.
Quick question, in regards to that $58,000 and what was found, obviously, we're going to figure out when we figure out who's going to pay for it and how to budget for that. The process of that and deciding what to do, did that go through the right channels before we decided to make that repair? I understand it had to be made. There was no choice. But did we follow the right protocols to make it?
We didn't follow the normal protocol because we didn't know who the owner of who's responsible for the water. So the problem is, Mike informed me that his subcontractors were going to move out the next day and start charging $9,000 a day for downtime. So
did they fix it in one day then?
That's $63,000 in one week.
3 days? 28 hours on the excavator, 21.5 on the dozer, 32 on the skid loader.
That seems like something that I would think would warrant a special meeting. Change order.
Exactly. As well as DMU, too. They were not too pleased about it either.
Is there some reason you wouldn't put in a request for a change order and ask for a special city council meeting?
city, right? The land
so
that you're working on?
Where the water was coming from was across the street.
But you didn't fix that part. You fixed the dirt, right?
Yes, we did.
So that would be owned by the city.
We fixed the dirt that it had turned into a muck. The water had turned it into a muck hole.
So regardless, at this point, no matter what, the contract is still with the city, correct? So, I mean, that's...
The city is handled outside the contract. Yeah.
Right, but the city inevitably is making the decision right now on... So at that point, everything should have went through Jessica. And then she would have then turned around and probably called a special meeting. So... That needs to be the proper channel. And then, Mike and I have talked about this. Mike,
remember that? I sent an email to you. It's
obviously for, you know, it's for transparency, but we've got to make sure we do that. Because now we're Bass afterwards and we don't know. The work's been done and we don't know who's going to pay. So now we're kind of behind we don't have a leg up. We've got a leg down now.
Well, $60,000 seems like a lot for 3 days of dirt moving. So that would be...
I'll let Mike... There's a lot of riprap, a lot of fabric, a lot of geogrid. There was a lot involved with it. And it's all itemized and built how many times.
I'm not surprised at the cost going through it. It was just the... At least getting a temporary consensus before the work was done, kind of a thing. A quick call to Jess, so Jess could get a consensus from council, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So, but we know that moving forward.
It's not like I didn't tell anybody. I sent an email to Corey and Jessica.
But you sent the email after you directed the work to be done, Terry. Like, I gave a directive on Monday when we went out there and met not to move forward until I had a chance to talk to DMU and council. Tuesday, and the following Monday at the DMU meeting, I made the comment that it wasn't, that we weren't moving forward until we knew whose water it was, and then after I left, the board was told that there was direction given, and but working backwards, direction was given Wednesday or Thursday, and I got an email on Friday. So, I was not informed in an email.
I apologize for that. I discussed it with the contractor, however, and we agreed that it had to be fixed. That was the only way to fix the project.
And I agree, the work needed to be done, and I agree with what Dustin said as far as the breakdown is not irrational. I mean, the fact of the matter is proper channels have to be taken, no matter who the contractor, whoever's working for the city, whether it's an employee, but directly Sunquist is working for the city, working for us for the project. Got to make sure that if there's anything else that comes up before the work is done, because we now we're in this situation now. I appreciate the explanation. But now we're going to be over, in my math, $39,025.30 over the engineer's estimate, which at that point now Jody's going to have to figure out where that money's going to come from.
Well, did you say that a subcontractor did this repair work?
Yes.
And why is it on a 10-point invoice then?
Because I'm paying them. They're my subcontractor on the job. They did the work. All I was is the middleman making sure it's done.
So no upcharges on that?
No.
Okay. Well, I know as a city council person, I'm definitely going to be expecting to see more. T's crossed and I's dotted on things like that. Because our city budget, as far as my understanding is it's tight. So we can't be having $60,000 surprises that nobody discussed in advance and the city council is just expected to eat it. You know how change orders work. You're an engineer. Mike, I know you do. And I'm not trying to criticize what you did here, but $60,000 is a lot of money. So, sorry to start off upset.
The other option for the project was the bridge, and it would cost a lot more than $60,000.
It was what?
A bridge.
A bridge from the county.
And that was discussed originally, wasn't it?
I get the point.
But who says that was the only other option? council should be the one deciding that anyway.
The trust bridge would have been $65,000.
Maybe we would have preferred that. Might have been cool. So the point is that council needs to know in advance. I'll drop it.
A side note to 10 point, though, and thanks for getting the extra work thrown on. I know it's like that project and extra work get thrown on your back. It sucks. So I do appreciate you guys stepping up and getting it done. But so I don't want to seem ungrateful for that part of it. So thanks for that.
Do you have any more questions on the project itself?
Well, do you have more change orders in? I mean, do you need, you're going to ask us to approve these change orders at the next meeting then?
At early.
Okay, so they haven't been done?
Depends on how many questions council has.
Okay.
On the project.
All right.
That was the whole reason for doing this.
All right. Sounds good.
Is that all you have before this evening, Terry?
That's all I have, unless council has questions.
Any other questions from council?
Nope.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Just to clarify, on the sidewalk pieces, like the four inch versus 6 inch, was that just like kind of what we're dealing with first time myself, just bringing it kind of level based on what the ground was, or whether there's a difference in sidewalk depth? It just said sidewalk 4 inches, and then another line item said 6 inches.
Yes. So those are different bid items, and that's all the ADA sidewalks. So the reason those are higher unit prices, because there's so much more restraints to it, and the trail I can do with the machine.
And is that depth then?
Yes,
4 inch depth versus
6 inch.
Okay, that was my only other question. Thank you.
Any other questions, council? Hearing none, we'll move on to department director reports. Yvonne, you're in the front row. We'll let you go first.
So the monthly report for September, we do the year-to-date from 2023 to last year. I'm not sure if you have the
stats. We do not have those stats.
I'll have Taylor the Dropbox. I'm not sure what you decided on this one.
So, yeah, do we want something in Dropbox and them just to highlight it when they're in?
I have a question for you guys during my city manager report.
So we'll wait.
I'll give direction to you guys once I get the answer on that.
But as you know, we're shorthanded. But despite that, our numbers are off the roof. From last year to this year, we've had calls of service have been plus 600. The traffic citations have been plus 1,600. And the assistance for persons for calls of service have been plus 500.
That year to date, is that what you said?
Correct. So as you can see, it's been a massive increase despite the fact that we're 5 minutes short. I think that has to do with the style of leadership that we've had since the change in leadership, not just from the current chief, but from the we had more of a lead by example than do as I said type of leadership, and the guys have excelled in that aspect, and these are the results of it. So can't wait till we get fully staffed and we have 5 individuals more, the number should increase dramatically. We're in the process, like I said, we're applicants. We're looking at hiring 3 to 4 new applicants. The chief will push that to you guys when the time is right. Any questions?
I have one question, but I don't know if you know this or not. If you're just stepping in for the chief, on your bills, there was one charge for 400 color copies for $200 at the office stop. Any idea what that is? It just seems like a lot for a color copy.
I don't have that.
Anybody know?
I have the bills right here.
I just didn't know if they were fancy color copies or... This is a lot. Like the library, what do we charge for color copies at library?
$1 a page. $1 a page. How many did you make?
It's 200. Or 400 for $200.
It says it's for the career fair.
Okay, so they're probably fancy.
Yeah, they're fancy. Yeah, they're flyers. Yeah.
Okay.
hilarious.
Carol. That's not that you mentioned.
That was it. Thank you, Fiona. Sorry, I do that on the library board too.
She does.
She's thorough.
That's good.
Yep. Okay. Monica, you're next.
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay, so part of my job description is to go on the radio and represent the library and be here. So I had the opportunity to do that on the 28th of September. I will say that is not my most favorite thing to do, go on the radio. However, the saving grace is nobody can see my face, so that's good. But I did go on the radio and talk about the library, so do that. We're having server issues down at the library. Our server is coming to the end of life, and we are working through that process. An RFP went out yesterday, and we have a walkthrough tomorrow of any organization that would like to bid this project. And the board set me on this task and sent me directions on that, so that will happen tomorrow. Special meeting has been scheduled for the 11th to consider the bids. With school starting, our programming has also changed, so we now have Friday Outreach, where our children's librarian is going into the schools and doing preschool story time every Friday, and our community business partnership with elementary school has initiated as well with Stephanie Schmidt and her class. Our programming guide, I set these things in front of you. I each have a program guide, and then our programming statistics and our public service statistics. And in the program guide, you will see our normal things that we do, coloring calm, for afternoon, game night, read and play, stories, and I'm gonna say this wrong, Glenfels, the Spanish story time, and then Halloween story time. But the highlights I want to bring your attention to this month are the anime club will be happening Thursday night for the teens, and the cards and coffee is a new program that we're doing for adults, and that will be on next Tuesday night. We have started STEAM Saturdays on the 21st this month, and the biggest thing this whole month is Edgar Allan Poe will be a program that we are offering on the 24th at 6 p.m., and that is a gentleman with a one-act play coming from California and Hollywood, and all of his expertise in that area, and he's coming to put on Edgar Allan Poe. And then we have Trick or Treat at the Washington Park on the 28th, and we're going to give out over 400 books to the children. You can see the statistics, and you can just look through those on your own. In June, our garden entrance at the library was turned out by the trustees and the mayor, and then they planted new plants. And then in August, the black rail around that garden was pulled out for restoration and will be reinstalled in the springtime after that is completed. And then we got Resco involved in watering our plants all of the summer since then, and they have been a wonderful asset for us. They also pulled weeds for us, and I sent them a thank you note for all of your time. Of note is that the library will be closed on Monday for staff development. We are having AED, CPR, and first aid training all day for the entire staff. And on the 17th and 18th of October, the carpet will be cleaned in the Carnegie rooms. And because of that, furniture has to be moved, so we are pulling reservations. There are no reservations. The rooms are closed from the 16th through the 19th so that we can move the furniture. And this month I will be working on the annual survey, which is due October 31st through Iowa Library Services, and that gives numbers. We collect this data. What you have in front of you is only 1 month, but that data throughout the year will go into that report. The last big storms that we had through town coming from the southwest blew water into the windows in the library in the Carnegie area. So my board has tasked me with going to our window individual, our professionals, and having them come over and assess the windows. I'll be working on that this month. In addition to that, I'm happy to report that we successfully hired Carlos Paz today for the new library assistant position, and we have room for one more. So we're excited. He will serve.
thank you for the brochures you gave me to give to the senior center. I dropped them off that for next morning, and they really seem to appreciate that. They said you do a phenomenal job there, so I just wanted to share that with you. I was planning on picking more up from you at your meeting the end of each month.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
I will pass that on to my staff.
Awesome. Thank you. Eric.
I'll give it a go.
You're going to do this one? Surprise me.
Well, we got a lot of things on the list, but just keep in mind that a lot of things are people, a lot of days as well. It's not just a day shoot out, it's like several days on top of different things. So we, first of the month, we've been really busy putting hangers, banners, switch-out banners, putting them up, taking them down, just getting them set for the first time in a long time, and switching them out like for barbecue fest and such, and switching them back again for the next round. So there's a lot of time involved in that. After I say it now, we're hoping we have the mowing done for the season, and now this shows up, and this won't or may not be done for the season. But we spent a few days, we got back on cutting some trees in an area up here just a couple blocks away. Took care of them, about half a dozen trees. Again, they're down and still working on actually, not obviously. We spent some time working on the alley, which will be ongoing now. It'll probably, with this rain now, so we'll probably be able to get back in and focus on them, just getting them ready for winter. We spent a couple days uptown, cleaning up uptown before barbecue fest.
SOP created for that prior use?
Did you see the, I sent you an email. So did it come through yet?
Oh, I'm sure it did. I just probably haven't read it yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry.
I furnished that for you.
I had a comment from one of the seniors about the DuraPatch. When you patch, they're wondering if you could smooth it out more. They said there is a method of doing that instead of leaving it humped, and that could be part of your training. It's from a former Public Works employee who said that, so Charlie's smiling like he knows who it is. So, but they said instead of leaving it, humped, there is a way of smoothing it out so it's even with the road.
So Eric and Mike and I have had the same conversation. The DOT has the exact same scenario.
Yeah.
So, they said if they could figure it out, good luck.
Okay.
Because
this person seemed to think that you could get special training on how to do that.
We've had numerous conversations about this.
Well, interesting that more than one person knows.
If there's a trip, nobody knows yet.
Yeah, if you figure this out, let them know.
I will talk to him at the next time I see him and ask him if he has a name for me. Yeah. How about that?
The guys are trying different things all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes just, you can put the switch for a second too long.
It's timing. It sounds like a timing thing.
And then you'll also see, too, we'll have some bleeding come through, and that'll actually glue down our rock that we're using for a barrier so it don't crack up underneath the car, so that adds to it, too, after when the heat warms up.
Absolutely, yep.
So, there's
this or this.
Yeah, I get it.
Can you send those standard operating procedures to me as well?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a real quick question. You mentioned that you guys are working on alleys. For my own knowledge, so the alley behind my house, we're right next to Zink House, so that thing has probably lost
I've been there 13 years. It's lost 3-4 inches off top that day. And I guess, do we have a program or a list? Because it used to be able to drive up that alley, and now both sides are getting pretty bad. And every rain, every year, we get more washed out, more washed out. So I guess, what are we doing to prevent that from the further erosion? Or are we packing stuff on? Are we considering the concreting or asphalting the ends? Because at some point, you know, just replacing. I mean, I appreciate getting a 5-gallon bucket every time it rains that I can put on my stuff, the rock. But,
as we get millings from the, that's why it's always huge. We like to keep the millings. We've been going up in there and using the millings and putting them in and rolling them in.
Gotcha.
Like you did on that one alleyway earlier this
year. But is there a list? And the reason I ask specifically is because
of the millings? Of like where we're doing the millings? So if somebody were to ask, we can say where we've been and what we've done.
Yeah. The only reason I ask is 4 or 5 years ago, my neighbor to the north requested parking off 16th, but it wasn't granted by council because he has alley access. And the argument was that the alley wasn't bad enough to warrant it. He was very bad of health, and the transportation I got in Omaha every single day for his chemo treatments couldn't make it up the alley. The council at the time said, no, it's fine. It wasn't fine, and actually upset me quite a bit. I'm thinking, okay, they're going to do something about the alleys, and so I just didn't know if there's a program. So, because now the cars can't make it up the alley in the wintertime.
Yeah, we're finding out that with this reclaim stuff, and we're trying different things. We're mixing bigger rock coming out of the bad spots, mixing it in, and it's holding better even after it rains.
How do we get basically an alley priority list? Because some of these don't have front parking, so right. They need to be higher up on the list. That's how they get home.
It's always the same alleys after a rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Worst down.
Yeah.
Back and we know where they're at.
And I'm not knocking you guys by any means. I'm just sitting there like, man.
And that's partially due to our hills.
Yeah. It's all.
Yeah, the one by me every time it rains. Yep. The whole bucket load of gravel.
We'll work on changing the title to street/alley commissioner.
Okay, so I've got one for you, but I'll reach out in the next couple of days and tell you where it's at.
Hey, Mike, who's responsible for the grass and the weeds?
In the alley?
Next to the alley. Is that the homeowner all the way out?
Yes.
It is, okay.
10 foot, 5 foot from the center.
Center, okay.
Yep.
All right, we need to get Colby to go look at a couple of them.
I talked to him recently about one.
In the street?
I don't have it.
Oh, in the street?
Yeah.
I mean,
I
don't have
it. You got a garage.
We've had a couple times when we did some asphalt, like up here where we it got wet and we got rained on, so it was just going to throw it away. We actually went right on the alley up here. We dumped it up there and they leveled it up. We took it down by Broadway Elementary, that bad alley that we had a report on, bad one, and took half a load down there and just filled it in.
Nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you did some of one. Herschel's on it too, didn't you, with that deal?
What's that?
The asphalt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we take it around whenever we can get a hold of it.
Another thing too is just to keep in mind we hope to be more proactive and do more milling overlays to save the taxpayers money at that time, and maybe you can hit some of those bad spots too.
Well, there's something to be said about utility protection. To his point, so I pour a lot of concrete to cover up utilities, and we have a gas leak block south of my house last year, didn't we? Yeah, because as these alleys erode, a lot of the utilities are in the alley, especially gas lines, and so they erode, over, and move.
Yeah, we actually hauled them.
Yeah.
2 foot of dirt in, Charlie?
Yeah. It was exposed to the water.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, the blades, they, over the years and years, you'll dig them up.
So I don't know which mic to ask. How's First Avenue South coming? You're mic too, aren't you?
Concrete's on it.
I thought I saw that, just except for the...
The plan is we're looking at breaking the beam on like noon on Friday to test for the strength of it.
Okay.
Possibly, I don't know, maybe we have to ask you, and if it passes the pressure check, do we open it over to 12th Street? It'll be up to you.
That's what I would recommend, because then it allows everybody to get to these businesses and their homes.
Yeah, we've already had homeowners and business owners, so that would
be a long walk very,
very,
Great job.
That looks good.
Thank you.
It really, really does look good.
Since they talked about First Saturday South, does anyone want to talk about the cost increase for that project also?
Oh, there were a few items that they called me down to take a look at, and called me down every single time something was found. And there was a few items that were found, you know, after they were already digging into the street. You know, Mike did ask for permission to move forward with the pieces of the project, to which I gave him the direction to go ahead and do so. But you will probably see a change order on that project as well. You know, one item we were able to price out before, and our guys were already going to Des Moines for some fabric, so that was really nice, kind of an efficiency, two birds with one stone, so good work on thinking about that, and we're able to save some costs from 10 Point by us picking it up ourselves. But there'll be a few little differences with some things that were found regarding pavement thickness, where there was like a mill and overlay, some issues where it wasn't maybe done correctly. Also underneath, bonded concrete versus not bonded concrete. There were some also pieces of the street that needed to come out that I gave them direction to take out that were not in the plans, because it would have created an even worse issue after the fact and more expensive than to have them do it while they were there. So, again, don't know what that damage looks like, but every time we went down there and I took Jody with me once, I was like, how much will this cost? How much will this cost?
I can create a spreadsheet.
So, but you were aware.
Well,
I was aware.
And not one of those areas were something that could have been foreseen when
plans
and specs, because when I saw some of those areas, there would have had to have been so boring to every square foot, every 6 square foot. I mean, there had to have been hundreds, and it still wouldn't have been able to tell you with that the bonding. So
yeah, the job was bid by the area and by the cubic yard because it's an overlay. We have no idea what's underneath of it. We ran into areas that were over 10 inches thick. We ran into some areas that were only 3 inches thick.
Wow.
So as we were going through this and finding it, the nice thing is down on Highway 30 with the DOT, I asked them to come up. They met with us. We went through everything. So we have a very high-end guy with the DOT. He recommended that we do the fabric for a bond breaker. And I was able to get that, and we installed it for nothing.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Basically, everything was unknown. I think what we have now, we have a street that's going to last a long time. We made sure the areas that were thin, we got at least 5 inches. The areas that the concrete was totally rotten, I stopped the overlay and we went full depth. So.
Thank you, Mike.
And my pictures, if you guys want to see them. Took pictures of all of it.
You can forward them in an email. How about that?
Can I go back when we were talking about the alleys eroding? It just made me think that one of the most common things that I see people complaining about lately with the millings is like the pebbles on the sides of the streets. So I don't know if there's anything that can be done about that at the time because it's fresh, but I'm just wondering, do we take out like our street sweeper cleaners and clean it up, or is it possible to do that because it looks really bad? And people bike on it. It's a slip hazard.
Usually it's after a rain is when it happens. This first time you have to go out and try to, we know where the bad spots are. The street sweeper does go out. We haven't had it out only because now of
water
situation. Mm-hmm. And running that thing without water, it is not dust. It's just like a dust hole to go around. The best we can do, could we go with a broom and go around and push it off back in the alley where it came from?
Well, no, I'm not talking about alley way to bring it. I'm talking about the crumbly stuff that you put in the potholes.
Oh, the Durapatch.
Those crumbles are everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Usually,
what's the deal
when we're doing it, we're going around and we'll take a leaf blower. We try to blow it back over the top so it's all where our emulsion is, mm-hmm. is laid down, mm-hmm. so it sticks to that. And whether we need to, they're getting, it's all on how much of that. How much of the chips are thrown out there. If it's such a fine line, it's hard to regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good job with what they're doing it, but we just need to focus more on keeping it on the
My concern is more just keeping it clean, because if we want people in town to keep their stuff clean, we as a city have to do it too. And it's, you know, not one or two areas, and it's not, you know, one or two days after it's a fresh patch. It's kind of been persisting. So I don't know. I know you guys are obviously busy, but I personally would like to see, you know, those nice details when you feel like you can, like ASAP. Just because we do have disabled people that walk in the streets. We have kids that walk in the streets. We have people that bike in the streets, skateboard, whatever it is. We can't have yucky-looking streets. If we can help it.
When you're on the flush with the street sweeper, how many gallons are you guys going through?
We'll fill the truck 4 or 5 times a day.
What's a gallon, kind of gallon tank in it?
I want to say 120 gallon tank, something like that. And, you know, being here, the city's in a water ban, getting worse. You know, last thing we want to do there is take and spray good water on the street.
We
can't use pond water either, because we're going to come out sprayer houses. So we're kind of in a catch-22, and now we're going to get leaves. You know, like we talked to Jessica yesterday, we could run it, but it's going to be terrible dirty.
But we did decide we will run it when it rains.
We'll get it out and keep it running when it's raining, but, you know, we'll have to talk and compromise or come up with a plan that everybody's happy with, because we will get complaints and we'll, it's going to get dirty.
Yeah. Everybody get your rain dance shoes on.
We can stop now.
Awesome. Anything else, Mike, and Sam?
Any more questions?
Any more questions for, no, thank you. Sam.
Thank you. Our big part of our program started in September. We had flag football, Pee Wee flag football, little kickers, and we just started a new program with Dennis Volleyball League. That'll be starting up soon for the registration. We had over 260 kids signed up for sports for the fall. And flag football, we have now 10 teams with four out-of-town teams that are playing, and one league and three in the league. So we've got quite a bit of competition. And last weekend, I got more, so I started counting how many people we had at, like, the little kickers group and flag football. Throughout the whole day, we probably had over 500 visitors watching. So that's 500 people in town. And basically, I'm going to talk to the Dairy Queen about getting gift certificates. I guarantee that's how they went, because kids go to Dairy Queen after they get done playing stuff. But the numbers are up from 200 last year, so that's something we're real proud of. And then, I guess one other thing, we had a movie night at the park. We had a fundraiser where we sold burgers and had a really good fundraiser night, because all profit of over $540, and that's just for selling hamburgers and Broadway Dental Supply chips, and just with volunteer help. The Parks and Rec board was there. My wife helped, took some coaching, but she did quite a bit there. And then also had some other people helped too. Lots of volunteers, so it was a very, very good time. And I would also, ID Apparel had a golf tournament for Washington Park also, and raised, I think Bailey said, about $1,178. So $1,700 a weekend for just people donating. So that shows a lot about the community, and a lot of support for this Washington Park project. And also, the 18th of September, the RFPs were due. We had 8 RFPs, which I don't know what a lot of you guys are knowing, but that's fantastic. We're expecting 4 or 5. And they're all solid ones also. So the plan is, we have an aerodynamic tree now, and Jessica and I have been talking about, we're sending out letters to those three to get a presentation going October 30th. And then the Parks and Rec Board will, if anybody else would like to come, will be watching, going through everything. So it's really exciting. We're really excited about the three we have, because they follow the RFP completely. They gave us some designs that that are out of the box thinking a little bit, different options we didn't know existed, and that's what we kind of wanted. So, and we're excited to keep that going down the road too. So that's pretty much everything.
Awesome. Thank you, Sam. Chief Snowbrand.
All right, I'm going to rattle through these pretty quick. Stop me if you got any questions. Saturday, Kyron came to town. We just few items on engine one. It's far and away in service. There's a few small adapters and things like that that we needed to get. Physicals have started. Insurance. Kurt Miller kind of squared all that away with us. We did some this year. We'll do the other remaining ones next year, so it's not all in one budget cycle. We got SCBA testing coming up yet this month. Some of the guys have continued to work on pre-plans with some of the multi-residential housing in the city, and fire prevention week is the 8th through the 14th, and we've been scheduling station visits and classroom visits, and we're going to be sending a few guys out to KDSN to record some fire prevention safety snippets for the week.
Awesome. Any questions, Council? Hearing none, well, thank you, everybody. Great reports. We'll move on to the Arbor Day proclamation. We have not done that yet this year. We quickly planted a tree this morning, but this is something we do have to submit. So I will read it for the second time today. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this holiday called Arbor Day was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska, and whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heat and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce life-giving oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife, and whereas trees are a renewable resource giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products, and whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community, and whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. Now, therefore, I, Pamela Sossman, Mayor of the City of Denison, have the distinct honor of proclaiming October 3rd, 2023 as Arbor Day in the City of Denison, and encourage all of its citizens, businesses, and institutions to use Denison's Arbor Day to plant trees to gladden the heart and promote the well-being of this and future generations. All right, we'll move on to discussion on interim city manager wages.
So I went back and looked at some items when I had, Christy had come to me and asked the question about how long the interim wages were supposed to be calculated on the paychecks for the two individuals that worked in the city in the interim city manager position. So I found that on April 4th meeting, it was decided that they would receive the stipend and do the work, and that if the vacancy lasted longer than 2 months, then council would get together and reevaluate. But I couldn't find any information that it was reevaluated post those 2 months. So I put that on here from my seat, and if it appeases council, if you would allow me to make a recommendation, I would ask, in full honesty and disclosure, I am still leaning on these two individuals pretty extensively with helping me complete aspects of my projects and working through one thing at a time that they worked on in my vacancy, or in the vacancy of the city manager position, not my specific vacancy, but would ask that you would continue to pay them the wages at least through the month of October, and then reevaluate just to be fair, to compensate them for what they are doing to help me in my transition. So,
you know, I've seen your office.
And you're working on your floor.
And all that.
When's your desk going to be in?
I really feel
Thursday.
At this point, we're already into October. I say we go to the end of November and then reevaluate after that. I mean, they still got a lot of stuff. Corey was in there just going over the RFPs for the playgrounds and all that stuff. I know there's still a lot of stuff with Parks and Rec they're trying to get straightened out. And I think with your plate as full as it is, with other things that we've coming up tonight, I think November would be less stressful.
The end of November, John.
The end of November, and then we can look at it again. Your office is clean and not looking so stressed.
Same rate, and which is just a continuation, essentially, is what you're asking for. Okay. Are we going to have the same expectations then, for as it dwindles down? Because essentially both of them were taking frankly, a 60-hour week job and divided it in 30, right? And so, I guess bang for your buck, I just want to make sure we're still getting that same dedication.
Well, I can tell you, last night we were here well, burning the midnight oil, and you guys were both here as a part of that meeting as well, and Chief Stover came up and participated just because he's been instrumental in the RFP process. Jody has worked on several projects, late into hours as well, just to assist me. I would say, as far as city employees, we've had a really good transition of understanding, coming to me with concerns. But then, so as far as like the point person, I have become that, but then have been able to lean on them with asking for help as far as, hey, can you take this? Asking Chief Snowgren to help with some things with Parks and Rec and other departments. Really have leaned on them and what they took care of while that position was vacant. And then as far as, dollars go, there was quite a bit of a gap for those months that they handled it. So again, this is fully up to council. It was just my recommendation, just allowing me the ability to lean on them for a little bit longer yet, as opposed to just ending it.
Well, the money, Jody, would just come from what was budgeted for that position. That would be between what you and Corey were already getting paid and what Brad was getting paid anyway, so it's already in the budget. So.
And if I can clarify just one thing, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that if council were to vote against this or not take the recommendation, that the two of them would continue to help me without the compensation. I just want to be fair when asking them to do things for me and the city and the employees and everybody else that we're fair about, because there is still a significant amount of things that need to be done and cleaned up.
Caught up on.
Correct.
Yeah. No matter what, we're a team. I mean, that's something that we're definitely, we just sat in a meeting today and John joined us and we reviewed a lot of items that need to be done and we'll continue on.
Do we think 2 months? The only reason I'm critical on 2 months is that's 8 weeks, right? So I will support it if it's what the rest of council believes, but I just want to make sure that we're sure we're going to need basically that additional pay and labor for 8 more weeks.
If it would appease council or make you feel more comfortable, I would like I said, my recommendation would be at least through the end of October, and then if you would like to reevaluate in the November meeting, and I will have the two of them maybe come and explain what they're still
helping with.
I personally would
rather do that than commit for the 2 months, frankly, because there's also for the reason of eventually you guys might like to have some of your life back a little. And so I'm thinking 4 weeks, reevaluate. I don't know if I would be comfortable committing to 8.
Same. I think any
of that. November 1st,
right.
Council meeting, okay.
And that's no offense to the work you guys are doing. I think it's great, but, hey, you guys do great. Maybe you have everything whipped into shape in 4 weeks. I don't know.
I must say that I am seeing the city move in ways I've never seen it move, and kudos to all of you.
There's a whole different atmosphere when you walk in the city.
Absolutely.
Hall.
That's
the same totally. Exactly.
Yep.
Everybody's happy.
I try to destroy it every time I go in, but I just can't do that.
So is the consensus to go through the end of October?
Yep. Well, until the next city council meeting.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right. A discussion on new market tax credit closing process. So
this is me as well, but me in cooperation with Jody. And Jennifer,
yeah.
I guess, at this
yeah,
point.
Jennifer.
Well, Jody and I had a meeting with Allison last week.
Allison was Steadfast.
Or Steadfast, excuse me.
Sorry, I didn't know if that had that on there.
I'm sorry, it was the Steadfast. Allison was Steadfast. And she was making recommendations. So basically, I'll give the recommendation, then I'll let Jennifer explain why this is maybe coming so quickly. But she recommended that one thing that we would have to have with the new market tax credits, which if you all remember, this was an item that was going to be used for potentially assisting in funding the wellness center. So what happened is she contacted us and said that there is the necessity of establishing a 501c3 specifically for the closing procedures for new market tax credits. And working with a legal team that specializes in new market tax credits, as well as an accounting team that specializes in this work as well. Her recommendation was to bring this to council, and then potentially what we were looking to do is start sending out some RFPs or proposals to the legal firms that Steadfast is aware specialize in these items, RFQs, RFPs, I'm still working on my terminology, or RFCs. So with that, send those out to start getting that back so that we can present those items to council. The way that Allison described it to us is the fees that you would pay for attorney and accounting are built in to the tax credit, so it's not necessarily additional expense that's incurred by us, but we have to go through our bidding process just to make sure that it's all on the up and up. Now, I did start a communication chain between Allison at Steadfast and George Blazek and myself, because what I had questioned in our meeting was that we already have a 501c3 and was not sure if it met the parameters and guidelines that she was referring to maybe save us some time and money. Because we already have one established, and so far, all that has happened in that chain is my initial email introducing the two to each other, unless they're talking and didn't reply all. I'm not sure. But if you want to touch on that at all,
I would just be surprised if George knew the answer to that. So, but yeah, I agree with Jess. The legal fees and the accounting fees are baked into the overall cost of them acquiring the tax credit, so it's not like we're going to have to send out a monthly attorney bill like we do with other services. So it's just part of the process, and it's a whole new animal. You can't really get like a regular CPA to do it. I mean, you could try, but the odds that they mess it up are pretty high because it's so specialized. So I definitely would recommend moving forward with that ASAP too, because they just got word that the Treasury released allocation awards in early October, and they weren't expecting that until like early November. And they think that the feds did that because of the looming shutdown, so that the people who were anticipating awards would kind of know. And so now we know that different CDEs that are potential targets of ours have money. So we want to start going ahead and actively working with them more than just...
Well, and then what Allison said, as far as accounting firms, there's only two in the United States that she's aware of that actually work with new market tax credits.
And based off of those, it'll depend on which legal firm you also hire, because there are specific ones that work with specific legal firms too.
So if we can at least move forward with getting those items sent out to get the proposals or whichever back from the legal teams, I think that at least gets us started, because she said that you can move as quickly as closing on some of these funding sources first of the year. So if we don't have somebody in place, all that does is pushes back your closing, because it usually can take about 60 to 90 days to get it done. So we don't want to push it back any further than what need be if we're going to also be looking at construction. So,
well, and speaking of that, since we're kind of on that topic, we need to own the land too. So
right.
I don't know.
I'm working on that. I'll make another note.
Soon.
Soon.
Real soon. I think she was working with you, right, Greg?
On a plot.
Thank you.
Survey.
Thank you.
And we were approved for just having a letter of intent as well, just in case.
All right. So Jessica's going to move forward then with the RFP, and then we'll wait on George to, and Allison's communication regarding the 501c3. Perfect.
Thank you, Jody.
Just making sure we're all on the same page, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Motion to allow the city manager to sign the statement of completion for the Phase 2, Stage 2 grading and drainage project, and this would be the airport.
So moved.
Second.
I've been filing for the reimbursements through the federal.
Thank you.
And then they just finally got the it was probably last month, but they do have the reimbursements for the fuel system engineering on there now too. So I'll start doing those reimbursements also.
Thank you.
And that airport meeting is tomorrow at noon. If anybody wants, is Pete going to be here tomorrow? Chrissy's not here.
Hey, do you not know? I just assume he will be.
Yeah, either that or he'll call in and he'll give us an update then.
With Councilman Miller's question earlier, I did send Pete an email asking about the change order, like what the details were on it. So maybe if you will be at that meeting, I will not be.
Okay.
You can get that answer as well if he has not responded to me.
I'm going to do roll call. Logan?
Yes.
Kernan?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Zup Smith?
Yes.
Grandin?
Yes.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the underwriting engagement letter with D.A. Davidson.
Your Honor, a few weeks ago, or a month ago at least, we had talked about what our bonding capacity would be for over the next 5 years without raising taxes. This simply lets him start putting together the work we need to do to get the information you guys need. So, and basically, if we move forward with it, then like any of the bonding, this gives them the funds they need to do it also, which is would be in any bonds that we would take out or any loan agreements. Hope that makes sense.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Grandin?
Yes.
Kernan?
Yes.
Zup Smith?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Miller?
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the amendment to covenants and restrictions to Oak Ridge Heights Plat 1.
Your Honor, I have sent everything over to the attorney for review and he has no issues with us proceeding with this.
I mean, this is just to let somebody have two lots as one lot, right?
Right. Right. So then they don't have to abide by it. Well,
they can build a bigger pad.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be same family,
There's a couple that bought a house out there,
yes.
And they're buying an empty lot that's behind.
Okay.
And that way they don't have to...
worry about a neighbor?
Well, build a house on it,
right.
Number one. Number two, then I think the idea is they're going to leave it vacant so somebody doesn't build a house.
Right,
okay.
Right.
That was my concern, just in case they were going to do
something
different, because
too.
Then they would have to have... Because there was the one page where they had all the names out there. And I remember going around and getting signatures of all the homeowners. So,
and that's, yes, that's
so,
another, yeah.
Yes. So, okay. That makes sense. Then.
So
make a motion.
Starting with us, right? I mean, they're starting with us because if we don't approve, then it doesn't really matter what the others say.
Right.
Second.
Kernan?
Yes.
Zup Smith?
Yes.
Miller?
Yeah.
Grandin?
Yeah.
Logan?
Yes.
So we'll skip to number 20 now, since we tabled number 19, resolution to execute and deliver the quick claim deed for Denison Municipal Utilities for the old power plant.
Your Honor, I'm recommending that we table this. We did not have the resolutions, the quick claim deed, or the easement. The storm sewer easement in yesterday, so I do not have this agenda item on. I just assumed it was going to be like the previous one, so we...
Motion
to
table.
Thank you.
Second.
The description's going to be different.
It's definitely different.
Yep.
Miller?
Yep.
Kernan?
Yep.
Zup Smith?
Yes.
Grandin?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
So we'll move on to the mayor's report. I want to give congratulations to the local Kiwanis Club. Today they're celebrating their 100th year of dedication to children in our community. Yeah, their celebration is this evening out of Boulders. So I've seen a little scuttlebutt, not that I've been on Facebook a lot lately, but people were asking at the end of September when Halloween was going to be. We've always had Beggar's Night or Trick or Treat on Halloween evening from 6 to 8, and if council's okay with that, we'll proceed with that same time and date.
Yep.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Some of the meetings I participated in, DNR. DNR had to do with asbestos in the tiles at the senior center and bringing that into the EPA Brownfields program. We will not be doing that because it's a city-owned facility. Then again, we do our routine EPA Brownfields meetings. trying to get back into the swing with PDSN again. We have a new new person out there. So we're trying to get a schedule down where I go out and visit with the community via radio. I continue with my visits with the senior citizens. I did enjoy the liver and onions the last time I was there. And it was good.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Sure was really good.
Community vision boards were in town. Did they have a good crowd?
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to promote that through Facebook and various other methods. And so community vision boards were in town last Saturday evening at Washington Park. Allison reached out to me yesterday or today, and they were working on cost proposals for each of those visioning boards. We will be presenting November 2nd in Ames. Mike, are you thinking you can go, or? Okay. I know Bill Bruce wants to go, so there would be somebody else if you decide not. Do you want to go to that?
I'm so sorry, what?
Community visioning.
Okay.
November 2nd, it would be just about an all-day thing. I think we leave at like 7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And this is where we would present our community visioning board, so as opposed to starting the process where we were last year. So that's November 2nd in Ames. And today we had a very interesting meeting with a firm called Shattered Glass Development. They reached out to the city of Denison, would you say 6 or 8 weeks ago, Jody?
Yes.
We've just had a hard time connecting and knowing the changes that we were going through. So we had a meeting with them briefly last week, and then Jackie Johansson came today, and then we had Art Cox via Zoom, or ended up being via phone. They can help connect us to developers. They can do a survey for us for developing businesses to see what the city may want or the citizens may want. They are connected to the developers who are building in Storm Lake, Iowa. I spoke to Housing Agency probably a year and a half, 2 years ago about Caden Construction, who's building 175 units for workforce housing up in Storm Lake, and they do have a connection with them. They are suggesting right now that we probably need to do another housing study. We did have Paul Plum from the CDC here with us as well, so they can get a handle of existing housing and look at the demand side. And they will be sending out slide presentations of different firms and different, I know Jody talked about one IFA, no, it was a League of Cities that you went to,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't know a lot of the details of that, and they can connect Jody with those dots. But ultimately, they'll be sending us information, and then they'll be sending us a proposal, which we will take to housing and then to council. So that was pretty much all afternoon. They did do a tour of the Bush property and the vacant lots out by the hospital. We took them along 7th Street because we think there's potential down there for development. So it was just a very, very interesting meeting. But we'll, as we get more information on that, we'll bring it to you. And that completes my report. So now we'll move on to the city manager report. If you have any questions for the city manager, I ask that you write them down, and when she's done with her report, that you voice those questions to her. That way she can move efficiently through her report.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So a lot of the meetings that Pam mentioned, we participated in as well, so I won't necessarily reiterate them. I did want to make sure that council was aware that this I believe it was this last week, we received our building code effectiveness grading schedule results. And we are currently graded at a 5 for both residential and commercial industrial properties. So I wanted to say thank you to everyone involved with helping the building department get us to this point. There's definitely still work that needs to be done. But when Chris began his position, to put this into perspective for you, the city was ranked 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. And we were on at a 9. This number is also shared with our insurance carriers. So just knowing things about, you know, making sure that we're following code and things of that nature. So currently both residential and commercial, we're at a 5. So I
didn't they say state average for the 6 too? Yes. So we're above the state average.
Correct.
Yeah, so we tour.
Yeah.
She's correct. She's helping me. She is helping me. So yes, we are at a 5. So kudos to that department and anyone else that's helped them get to that point. So that's great. And now I guess I have a question that needs an answer. But
you can't have it till you're done.
There was a question asked to me. I have implemented a Monday morning stand-up where basically every department head gives a brief 5-minute overview of what they have going on for the week. We keep it pretty quick and then see if there's any way that we can help and support each other cross-departmentally of things that need to be done. Now, one thing that did come up in our department head meeting this last Monday was how you would like them to present to you. They asked me what I wanted them to do, and realistically, it's not necessarily my choice, it's what council would prefer. Previous administration wanted them to write up a report and put in Dropbox. I do believe I remember sitting in the other chair that we had kind of asked for that so we could read it ahead of time, and the reports were shorter so we could keep the council meetings moving. But I guess my question to you, and this is rhetorical, you do not have to answer it, but are you reading them? And then how do you want them to proceed? Would you rather they give a full report on the evenings of department head reports, or would you rather they put a full report in Dropbox and then highlight bullet items here? How do you want them to proceed? Go ahead.
I like giving the reports like they did tonight. I know it consumes more time, but if everyone in the public then can then have the opportunity to know what's going on versus just not everybody has a Dropbox or is it going to inquire, so this way everything is out in the open and transparent.
I like it both. The reason I say is when you're talking and you're speaking to us, I'd be apt to forget a few things here or there as you're writing them down. So I don't mind getting a monthly report from you guys as well, but more for the public, it's nice for them to also hear. Look at the great conversations we had about alleys today, just because we had an actual conversation. Yeah.
I don't know if that's correct.
If you guys are okay, then the direction they're all here to hear it. The direction that I would give them is if they move forward, continuing to put maybe a bulleted item list in Dropbox, you can reference back to it, but then we'll give a full report here at council as well. That is okay with you. All right, moving right along. The Chief Snowgren has a Grant Watch subscription for the city, and I believe Brian got one for Parks and Rec as well before he left. I'm in conversations, and Chief and I are going to continue, but I also think whether we use one cross-departmentally, we're testing how it works. But I think if one person saves one and is working on one and a different person signs in on a different platform, it boots them from the other platform because it's one single subscription. But it is $199 per year for a Grant Watch subscription that I think would benefit us having it at the city level. But there is a grant writing training that I will bring to you or propose to you for next month that I would like myself, Jody, Chief Snowgren, and then any other department heads that are interested in it to sit in on that. You get a discount the more people you sign up, just saying. And I think it's helpful for our department heads to get some information. I know Chief Trejo went to the in-person one, but there is a virtual one that we can participate in and get recording. So if it's a busy day, they can watch it at their liking. And we may get options of companies from there as well. But I just wanted you to know that I'll be looking into that as well. I need to send an email out based on the Parks and Rec meeting last night to the three individuals. Sam already gave that in his report, but to the three companies that we're going to have come in and do our presentations. And what I would like from council is a consensus, just a consensus, on a dollar figure that you would like me to include so that all three presenters are bringing an apples-to-apples type comparison. Sorry, I'm going to drop my books. We did have the opportunity to speak with Mike Beck today, and I just want you to re-reference these. So, like this park, I'm asking equipment dollar only was $320,000. Equipment only. Does not include surfacing, okay, which is not much in the form of equipment when you think about the size of Washington Park. The dimensions of this park are kind of a, as he explained to me, like a neighborhood park. Okay, so small. And then remember from his presentation before this one, this equipment is a $300,000 park. Again, probably maybe half the size of the dimensions of the current Washington Park. Now, I know we're working on looking at a master plan for the for there as well. I was going to send the email out saying $500,000 on equipment only, but please understand, I'm not locking anybody into anything. This isn't what we're buying. It's not whatever. It's just so that the presentations they bring, they have a dollar figure to work with. Because we did not detail that out in the RFP with good reason. We wanted to see what they would present and what they would bring. I will tell you, we got examples from $100,000 all the way up to $1.86 million. It's just equipment. The point, the $200,000 was the surfacing. But so, you know what I mean? That really puts these companies at a disadvantage. If we don't give them a dollar figure for equipment, I did ask for surfacing options, that they bring those for their presentation. But again, fully understanding, it's not, we're not paying that much. It's not what's budgeted. It's not, we just want a presentation to see what they can bring for equipment. Is there a consensus of what council would be comfortable with me putting in the email before I send it out?
What's the what's a realistic amount that you think that we could afford to do? You know,
we have to take into consideration the entire project cost before she answers that. So typically speaking, and being involved with all this as well, yeah, so the equipment cost is going to be about 30% of the total project cost, including surfacing, subsoil, and all everything else, 30 to 50% depending on how much equipment you get. So whatever number you guys pick, 60% on top of that will be our total project cost, roughly. I mean, would you guys agree based on everything we've been to? So if you guys pick $500,000 worth of equipment, you're basically picking a $1.5 million park, most likely. I mean, but I get what you're saying. She's right. You need to have something to come up with, but...
Well, and I'm not trying to lock us into that. Just I want an apples-to-apples comparison on the equipment, so that we can then say, oh, this company could do this for $500, and then this is much smaller, but this is $500 to them, just so we can kind of have an idea of where to go. But
what do you think, Jody? I see you're working
hard in there.
It's so hard because we're going to go do a street tour. Mm-hmm. And with that street tour, we need to know, like, what's essential that we have to have replaced immediately. And so, I mean, we've been given, and granted it was a couple months ago, we were given a number of what our bonding capacity is for this year and what we can take out. So, it's so hard for me to even answer it because I need to know what street repairs, what projects we need to do immediately. Because that changes things, because we've obligated $250,000 towards the wellness center. We know there's a $50,000 going towards the... UP agreement for the Donner Reed Bridge. We know that there's an airport project that we've obligated funds to that have to be next fiscal year too. So in my mind, what I had put down on the sheet of paper was $750,000 for the total expense. But if that isn't even going to cover the equipment in that one area.
Well, seeing what $200,000 and $300,000 pays for,
the likelihood
community's not getting much.
It's something to, I don't want to say this out loud. If we want to replace Washington Park with a Washington Park, it's like $1.2 million, period. It is.
Well, one other thing, just so you guys are aware, I'm also asking them to bring options in the presentation with phasing. Per Mike's, you know, you have to understand if you phase it, a budget is a budget. They understand, but mobilization and some other things that are included in that can increase, but you also could do it year to year to year where you can do more fundraisers, more grant writing, more other things that will help in the cost and we talked about Washington Park once before, and we said, for the sake of a grant, we're not going to jump and just do this massive project, but maybe you can phase things and go for other smaller, low-hanging
fruit. Well, if there's an amazing grant available out there, because we all know there are.
The problem with phasing, though, is, again, we don't know what our final check's going to write for the wellness center. So if we promise we're going to phase it, and next year it turns out we're shy, and our entire bond capacity goes to that, and then again... the hundreds of people who sometimes use Washington Park every day who can't afford, they're not going to be able to afford to go to the Wellness Center. We're just telling them, sorry, we're going to help support the people who can't afford it. I mean, you got to look at it in that perspective, too.
But we also do have several parks around the city of Denison. Not saying that Washington Park is not equivalent. I'm just saying we have several different opportunities for doing multiple different facets. All I kind of need is I just want to make sure these companies are able to bring apples to apples. And I could just send $500,000 out, and like Mike said, you then, after you pick a company to work with, you then start getting more into the weeds on picking the specific pieces of equipment, and I want kind of this style in the park and this whatever, that then you have more time to work on your budget and decide. I don't want to send an email out and then have council say, well, you asked them to bring presentations for $500,000 or the public found out and I didn't communicate that with you. I just need an apples to apples comparison.
Well, and you need to go through this process too, so then you actually have the budget and the estimate so you can start going out for grants. Because until you know what you're even trying to achieve, I mean, or what people are trying to fundraise for even.
So the 500 makes sense to me because it's on the upper end for the equipment costs. And so it gives us, and then we can go into it down. Obviously, for the equipment costs on the upper end. We agree from what we've seen on these?
Depending
on surfaces can be tweaked as well.
Surfaces can be tweaked, and also depending on grants and fundraising, right? Mm-hmm. You can go up or down from that number, but we need a flat line number to pick a company to work with.
Do 500?
Let's go with that.
Yeah, I think 500.
Okay, thank you.
If you build it, then they will come.
Let's hope
so. And you borrow the money, bond it. You can still write for grants, correct? Mm-hmm. And if you pay those grants, you can pay off the loan.
Spending
it for something else.
I think with adding the handicap thing into it opens up for more grant money too.
Bond
was a part.
Yeah,
bond really.
And then
big.
Our.
We can just redirect that money towards
the daycare thing. They use it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the
part is just bond. And there's more things in the works. Chief Snowbrim brought to my attention that we do have that, as I like to call it, the piggyback clause, right? Where I've made contact with the daycare as well as the school if they were in need of equipment and wanted to listen to the presentations, or because they can get it for the same cost that was quoted to us based on what you guys approved and based on what we wrote into the RFP, so they've been contacted as well. We did table the handbook tonight, but I wanted to make sure you guys were aware that we do have all department policies. We're working through those as well along with the handbook, so that's a continuous process, but there was directive given at the last meeting, so I wanted you to know that we do have those in hand. I did have a question on how you wanted me to handle change orders, but I think Jennifer already answered that question earlier, so I'll continue working on those. And then also, just so that it is clear, because people can see it, we did have the windows painted for homecoming to support the Denison Community School District cheerleaders. They do it every year for a fundraiser, but that is paid for by City Hall employees. We're not using taxpayer dollars to pay for that. We're paying for that ourselves. I just wanted to make sure that that was clear. And then lastly, Chief Snowgren also reported on it, but I just wanted to make sure that we clarify the items that we're working on in Chamberlain Drive are focusing specifically on code and inspection violations that will be touched on in informing the property owner of what those violations were and what needed to be corrected. This is a change from a previous administration that was given a directive to not address the issues, so we're moving forward with addressing them as far as accountability and safety are concerned. So not necessarily hand in hand, but we're doing what we should be doing and focusing on safety issues and concerns when it comes to code and inspection violations.
What about our rental inspections?
When it's funny because I just wrote down right here.
I'm so glad you guys asked because we have been working with Region 12, and they are currently in Mapleton. We asked for them to come and partner and work with both Chris and Colby to give them training on rental inspections and do a few with them. They're bringing in what they use as kind of a blanket inspection list and protocol. So like I said, they're working through Mapleton right now, and when they come this direction, they'll be working with them as well. We have updated emails from them that they'll work hand-in-hand and kind of retrain on rental inspections. And then we've also been working with the City of Newton on some things as well. So we are continuing to proceed and make sure that those are getting done. But in the meantime, if there's a rentee that has a complaint with their landlord, they bring those into City Hall, and Chris handles those accordingly. But as far as rental inspections go, they're moving forward on that partnership. So,
and Now, those only work with, like, registered rental properties, right?
You mean the complaints?
If the random rental inspections or the rental inspections in general.
Yeah, if they're not registered with us and we don't know about them.
Right.
Correct. If we receive a complaint, so here's how you also educate on the back end. You educate the rentees, because if you receive a complaint that the landlord is not doing something that's up to snuff, and then we find that it's not a registered rental property, then we can have enforcement that way, because they're supposed to be licensed, just like your dogs,
well,
right? Your animals are supposed to be licensed as well, along with your rental properties.
Speaking of
so
the
license
animal,
your dogs and your rental properties all at the same
speaking
time.
Speaking of the dog thing, when we get complaints of dogs running loose or dog complaints, do we ask the owner if the dog is licensed or not?
When we are able to, if we capture them and bring them to the city commander, she's instructed to that they need to get licensed in order to be released back to the owners. Sometimes we can't catch the dogs. The times that we the owners are identified and dogs are returned, they are asked if they're licensed and vaccinated.
Okay.
Chief Trejo. Captain Cardenas, Colby, and myself have a meeting next week to establish kind of a process and protocol on animals at large, dangerous animals, and kind of working together on an investigation process. So we'll be meeting next week to decide on some of those things.
Also, if they do go to the pound before they can release them, Jerry does require them to pay for a city license,
mm-hmm.
and then they come up,
mm-hmm.
bring up the paperwork, and we issue them the license.
Okay.
So it is paid for before they're released.
The last three things I have for you, just so you're aware of where I am and what I'm doing for the rest of this week, but tomorrow morning I will be in Carroll at a Region 12 meeting. When I get back tomorrow afternoon, I have a training on a virtual training, a webinar on capital planning, so kind of revamping the CIP process. And then Thursday, I am out all day presenting at the CAT grant or to the CAT grant board with Jennifer and Jody. And then Friday, I have a training first thing in the morning regarding locating funding sources. And then we'll be in for the remainder of the day on Friday, but it also is homecoming. So make sure you guys come up and watch the parade and support your local community.
Thursday night, the school is going to be uptown.
Yes.
So I encourage you all to get uptown and support their festivities that they have going on. They did a great job last year. So
the
Pep Rally type deal?
Pep Rally is on Broadway like it was last year.
Yeah.
It'll be blocked off from
I think so.
The Big Shop down to
14th, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The only other suggestion I have is that when you were talking about doing the grant thing, it should be mandatory for all department heads. It shouldn't be a choice. I mean, if we're going to get this thing, then all department heads need to be somewhat be trained or whatever on it. So.
Okay. I will bring the approximate cost. I don't have it with me to the next meeting, so you guys are aware of what it will cost send every department head to this virtual training. Just want to make sure you're aware of it and that you approve it before we register everyone. So, but yeah, I can work on that.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Way to make a meeting longer, Jennifer.
Yeah.
I have some stuff I'd like to talk about.
Just replace
so.